discussing the issues that actually matter, finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, welcome. Hour number two. I am your host, John Rush, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and we appreciate y'all listening to us. We've got another full hour, 2 hours actually ahead of us this first hour, though. Emily Golden joining us now. Let me bring her up. Emily, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. I'm great.
We appreciate you joining us very much. And I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but we, for some odd reason here in Colorado, can't get winter over with.
Yeah, we're having a hard time shaking it over here on the East Coast. I'm right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. All right. So you're a master certified coach specializing in executive leadership and career coaching. Let's talk about, though, this sheltering in jobs. And I like that term because I think that's what's happening. Explain, if you would.
Absolutely. So I'm hearing all over from so many people that I should just be grateful that I have a job. I shouldn't have any sort of discontent, or I shouldn't be advocating for any sort of promotion, raise, and new projects because, hey, we're going through this pandemic and I have a job. My invitation today is that we turn that thought on its head. And instead of looking at this as an opportunity to shelter in job, really look at this as an opportunity to create more opportunities
for
ourselves. And that doesn't necessarily leaving. Yeah, doesn't necessarily mean leaving your job. It could mean just really putting yourself out there more.
Well, and I'm an employer, so I will continue to remind everyone, and you probably will relate to this, Emily, if you want to make more money, make yourself more valuable to the company. So the way you do that is figure out the holes that are there that maybe they can't even hire for right now because of where we're at with all of what's going on, and then fill the hole.
Absolutely. And that is done through developing relationships and really getting to know the organization, the people in the organization, the pain points of the organization. I think it's so easy, especially in a time like this, to have horse blinders on. So my first invitation is to be intentional about developing relationships. Focus on the stakeholders who will be involved in the decision-making process. Make yourself visible. Ask for virtual coffees. Get to know people. Ask them what their career journey is like. I say all the time, people love to talk about themselves. Give them a stage. How did they get to where they are? Nurture relationships. Share, when in doubt, share content of value. And never before have we lived in a time where there's more content to share.
True.
Hey, Emily, you know, you just hit on something I was about to ask because John said increase your value. I was going to say also increase your visibility. Bosses do not promote people they never see
or
know.
That's right.
And can I be cutthroat for a moment here, Emily? Can I be cutthroat?
Go for it.
Okay. Isn't this a great opportunity? Because all these people around you at that workplace, that office place, are staying home. They're not visible to the very people who would promote them, which means you have an opportunity.
Yes.
You have an open door.
More so than ever.
You can be more visible to those people.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's not cutthroat.
That's being smart.
Identifying opportunity and going for it.
That's
I have heard
cutthroat's
that
more
the
fun.
Level...
I'm kidding. I'm
that
kidding.
The level of connection to C-suite leaders, to the CEO, the CFO, there's so much more ability. There's an easier way to connect. You don't have a gatekeeper. You don't have someone, you know, protecting the door.
Yep.
And there's so much that can be created. So really look at this as an opportunity instead of looking at all that's wrong. Look at what's right in this situation.
I want to add something to what you're saying too, Emily, and you may or may not disagree with me here. We didn't talk about any of this on the front side, but I was going to talk about this in my next segment with Andy, and I've got an article that I was going to talk about where it's titled, Why Some People, Employees, Especially Keep Wearing Masks. And this article basically talks about, and I'll give you a little excerpt here, Amy, a 44-year-old screenwriter who lives in Los Angeles, said that wearing a mask in public even after she's been vaccinated gives her a kind of emotional freedom. I don't want to feel the pressure of smiling at people to make sure everyone knows I'm friendly and likable, she said. It's almost like taking away the male gaze. The freedom is taking that power back. Unfortunately, Emily, she may feel that way, but that's not going to help her in her career, I hate to say.
Wow, that's fascinating to me. humans, we can't get away from the fact that humans like to read other humans' facial expressions.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that, and there's everything right with that.
Right.
So, look, I as someone who gets a lot of reinforcement from other people's facial expressions, I love reading people's facial expressions. I get a lot from my clients' facial expressions. I'm finding that the masks, they're challenging.
And, they are.
You know, it's that's an interesting perspective.
Well, and my point is this, real quick. If that's your, somebody listening, by the way, if that's your perspective and you're somebody that particularly likes the mask, not because of all of the, you know, infectious protection end of things and so on, and I'm not going to debate that at this point. I'm just talking about this in general when it comes to your career and how you're looking at moving forward. If you're looking at, you know, loving the mask at work because it gives you some autonomy, frankly, Emily, if that's your goal, you're probably not going to go very far in the company.
Well, I would challenge that person to take a look at what's really going on beneath the mask. It sounds like there may be some stories that person is believing about themselves, maybe some shame, some work that could be done to break through. Humans are story making machines. So, it's, you know, important as a coach, I love to get in there and really just question what is going on beneath that mask.
Yeah. No, great point.
Okay. Well, kind of going along that line of thinking, I want to get more cutthroat. Okay, so I said earlier their invisibility is an opportunity for you. What about their paranoia? I mean, I see so many managers and employers with a sea of employees right now who are all terrified, and they're basically just functioning in their jobs. Nobody is aggressive anymore. If you, I don't mean being annoying, but I mean being assertive and really pushing ahead.
No, getting after
bold.
It.
Yeah,
get after
word,
it.
Bold.
Get after it. Yeah.
Do you think boldness would sell even better with an employee right now? Employer.
I'm always a stand. I'm always a believer in being bold, being assertive, asking for what you need and what you want. What's in the way for a lot of people is they've experienced trauma in the past year, and many people have never experienced trauma before.
True.
And so they might be caught in some emotional, in the emotional experience, they might be distracted. And to those people, I say, go get yourself support, you know, work with a counselor, even work with a coach. There are coaches that work in the area of trauma. I'm certified myself. And, you know, work through that. Absolutely. Take the opportunity right now. If you're standing strong, take the opportunity to ask for what you want, what you need. Employers need to get creative. Bring your ideas where you see, to the point earlier, the gaps in the organization. Always come with a solution, though.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. As an employer, nobody likes the complainer. We want somebody that will come and say, hey, I notice we have a gap here. Here's how I think we might be able to, or here's how I think we may be able to fix that problem.
Absolutely. And you know, some people sometimes will say to me, some of my clients, well, I don't actually have the solution, so I don't know if I should bring it. And there's also an opportunity to co-create. There's an opportunity to bring the problem and to say, I don't actually know the answer, but
True.
Here are some of the things that I'm thinking about. Let's put our heads together. Let's leverage the brain trust inside of our organization. You know, we're better together, right?
Yep.
Collectively,
yes.
We are better.
Yes. Yes,
so,
that's the way we're made. Yes.
So basically, in a sea of loners, become a team player.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said, Andy. That's exactly right.
I cannot stress enough how important relationships are, and that's what this comes down to.
That's
it comes
right.
down to building relationships, getting to know people, finding out what is needed inside the organization, inside the team, and advocating for yourself. This is not an used, frankly, if you're saying, well, it's COVID and I can't ask for a promotion, or I'm never going to get a new job, or I'm never going to get ahead, that's an excuse, my friend. And if you are making that excuse now, you've probably been making that excuse for years. And it's not the mentality that's going to get you ahead. No one likes that.
Figure this out. This is real quick before we move on to another comment Andy has. Emily, how do folks get a hold of you? Emily Golden's who we're talking about. How do they get a hold of you, Emily?
So I wrote a book which was published in the midst of COVID. Yes, I published a book in the midst of COVID called The New Golden Rule. And you can find me at thenewgoldenrule.info. That will lead you to my coaching page. I love to go into organizations. I love to empower leaders and empower individuals to be the best they can be.
Perfect. Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a comment. I have a question. You may have already mentioned this, Emily, but could you explain connection upon collision? Because that's a concept of yours. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are in workplaces. We have connected with one another upon collision. The water cooler in the hallway, okay, even in the bathroom. We don't have that anymore.
No,
there is no connection upon collision. The value of connection upon collision is these organic conversations that come up. In office spaces, I mean, I know myself how many times I've been triggered to remember something that I otherwise would have forgotten just by seeing my colleague's face. We don't have that anymore. We need to be so intentional about really connecting and being proactive. And, you know, this kind of leads to my next, you know, something that's really been on my mind, which is half the organization in many companies is going to be going back to the office and half is going to be staying home. I really think we're going to see this trend more and more. And it's ever more important that we're building in proactive ways to connect. I could even see like an ambassador on a team, you know, maybe that rotates on a monthly basis, but someone who's responsible for that connection. So
yeah.
Upon collision.
What if you then are the person in the office who says, let's have a potluck on this day, or, you know, let's do this thing and get together on this day? I mean, doesn't that give you an advantage?
Well, absolutely it could. And as that person's leader, there's an opportunity to level the playing field to the extent that that leader can, and culturally to level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading into the unknown. This is a new era, and I think in some organizations we're going to see the value of FaceTime, and in other organizations they're going to do a really good job of culturally normalizing working from home.
Yeah.
But we're still on the very beginning of that.
Good stuff. Emily, love to have you back. This is fabulous. And you're welcome anytime. You speak my language. This is good stuff. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Good stuff. And I'll just add one last thing, which I know Andy will agree with me on. And I will just tell everybody out there that's listening, whether you wear a mask to protect yourself, thinking you're going to protect yourself or not, I will be the first to tell you that you are not helping yourself.
No.
Career-wise, wearing a mask.
No, you're hindering yourself.
Yes. You're killing yourself, actually, by doing so.
Yeah.
You're
becoming a number.
We didn't even get into comments with her about, you know, if you're doing a job interview, get rid of the mask, you know, especially if you're, you know, whether you're face-to-face or whether you're in a video, you know, chat deal, whatever it happens to be. If you are one of those people hiding behind the mask, you're in trouble.
Well, absolutely. Remember in that FaceTime thing he did online with all these countries, Joe Biden made us look weak by being the only one wearing a mask. It's the same thing.
We'll talk about some of that weakness when we come back.
Okay.
Shall we? Let's do that. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. And comes the Second Amendment. I say it all the time. Exercise that right, which it is. And no, it's not a right that we have so you can defend yourself. No, it's a right to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. That's why it's there. I want to keep reminding everybody that so we don't forget what it's there for. Exercise that right today at Franktown Firearms, 720-770-7777, or find them at klzradio.com.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible, because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
2022 is right around the corner. Former director of the U.S. Small Business Administration in Colorado, entrepreneur, and former mayor Greg Lopez is running for Colorado governor in 2022. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Greg joins me to explain why he is the man to represent every Coloradan. He'll share his vision for Colorado's businesses and economy and our kids' education. Plus, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group shares his thoughts on Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's latest actions. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support the Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate with John Rush. And do you want to listen to a little Tucker?
I do, because set this up. So Tucker did what?
He talked about Anthony Fauci, and what's really shocking, I don't know if we have time for the whole segment here, because I've already cut into it, is Fauci helped make COVID happen,
right,
with financing and funding and things they did to make this happen with that lab. Shall we jump in?
Jump in. There's also a big article, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal about this. So go ahead, Andy.
Okay.
The piece explains where this virus almost certainly came from. In it, Nicholas Wade makes it clear that more than any other single living American, Tony Fauci is responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic.
Pause it for a second, real quick.
Wade lays...
Which, by the way, I will go on record as saying Dr. Fauci should be behind bars today.
Agreed.
The guy should be locked up tighter than Epstein and or Madoff was.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are dead because of Epstein and Madoff. Certainly not this many.
Good point, Andy. Great point.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay.
...is out a nearly insurmountably large amount of evidence that this virus originated at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in central China. It seemed to make sense this show and others had raised the possibility from the early days of the pandemic. But this piece all but proves it. At the time the outbreak began last fall, the Wuhan lab was conducting experiments on how to make bat viruses infectious to human beings. Those experiments were funded by American tax dollars.
Okay, one second. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
How to make these viruses more infectious,
right,
to human beings. That's what they were doing. Continue.
Experiments were, their funding, approved and directed by Tony Fauci in Washington. By Tony Fauci. That is hard to believe, but it's true, and the piece lays it out. Many of the Wuhan experiments fell under the direction of a Chinese researcher called Shi Zhengli. Known as the Bat Lady, she was China's leading expert on bat-borne viruses. Her job was to genetically engineer coronaviruses so that they infect human beings and do so as easily as possible.
That was her job.
This work, Nicholas Wade notes, involved, quote, doing gain-of-function experiments designed to make coronavirus infect human cells. Now, why was this research going on? We'll have to ask the scientists who did it. But the fact remains, these were some of the most dangerous experiments ever conducted by mankind. And yet we know that China was not taking necessary safety precautions, and we should not be surprised by that. Several years ago, American diplomatic cables warned about low and lax standards at the Wuhan lab. In fact, the Wuhan facility was classified as a biosafety level 2 laboratory. What does that mean? Well, according to Richard Ebright, who's a molecular biologist at Rutgers, that is approximately the same level of safety that you would find in a dentist's office in America.
Okay, can I
so
jump
that
ahead?
Lab,
yeah,
here we go,
conducting
stuff, but they, you can manipulate them in the lab.
November 9th, 2019, Peter Daszak sat for an interview that was streamed online. In that interview, Daszak bragged about how easy it is to manipulate coronaviruses in lab experiments.
Coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus. Zoonotic risk.
Oh, great.
So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this. Insert it into a backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab.
So just days after that was shot, it became clear that this new version of coronavirus, this novel coronavirus, what we now call COVID-19, was running rampant through Wuhan, then China, and then the world. Since then, since the pandemic began, Peter Daszak, not surprisingly, has appeared on virtually every media platform available to him to deny, in the most strenuous and dismissive terms, that the Wuhan lab could be in any way linked to the outbreak, since, of course, he has very personal motives for claiming that. Quote, "The idea that this virus escaped from a lab is just pure baloney," he said last year. But that was a lie. It's not pure baloney. And a lot of smart people knew that right away. One of those people is Alina Chan, a molecular biologist at the Broad Institute at Harvard and MIT. She bravely wrote a paper about how the coronavirus's genome hadn't changed much over time, and that was odd because that genome had gone through trillions of replications. According to Chan, that fact implied that the virus was designed for human-to-human transmission from the outset. The former director of the CDC also clearly understood this, and he, too, argued that the virus came from the Wuhan lab.
Yep.
I am of the point of view that I still think the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory, escaped. Other people don't believe that. That's fine. Science will eventually figure it out. It's not unusual for respiratory pathogens that are being worked on in a laboratory to infect a laboratory worker.
Okay, let's stop real quick. I want to finish this segment.
Yeah, we got to finish the segment, but the terrifying part is actually coming up after this, where he starts to go into Fauci's actual involvement, what he did to get the funding to
him. And by the way,
it's unreal.
That you guys can go look up. There's no hidden secrets there.
Nope.
That this has been well known since the beginning, and I've been on record saying this. I'll say it again. I believe this wasn't accidentally released. I think it was released in a very timely fashion for political reasons, and some of you have challenged me on that and said, well, why would the rest of the world become involved in that? Well, because the rest of the world hated our country and Donald Trump as much as the left does.
John, just look at money. Can we close on this?
Yeah.
How many, not billions, but trillions of dollars will China make with Joe Biden as president compared to if they had to deal in trade negotiations and other things with Donald Trump?
And Andy,
trillions.
That includes other countries as well, not just China.
I know. I'm just, they're
That's
the main one.
Worldwide.
But China unleashed this virus on the planet, including America, shut everything down, and got Trump out of office.
Yep. Yep. They did exactly, in my opinion, they did exactly what they wanted to do.
And they made trillions as a result compared to if Trump were in office. That is a fact.
I'll go back to what I opened this segment up in saying. Fauci and the likes of him and all of his little minions should all be behind bars. The little communist dictator should be behind bars. He's the guy. The guy should be tried and sent to prison, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll tell
you, atrocities on the world are huge.
With the heat he came under today by Rand Paul, I don't know how much longer he can even be public.
He needs to go bye-bye, by the way.
Yeah,
that guy just needs to shut up and go away. So, anyways, Affordable Interest Mortgage is next, folks. A free mortgage review. Kurt will do that for you. It's easy. It's a single phone call, 720-895-0500. Anything you need when it comes to a mortgage, whether you're looking to buy something different, keep what you've got, refinance it, pull out some cash, do some remodeling, you name it, Kurt's there to help you. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop. If you've been involved in an accident of any kind, even something in a parking lot, or you just want to get a vehicle freshened up, they can do that for you. Full detailing to full collision work, and they work directly with the insurance company as well. Three locations to serve you, klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
A good shop fights on your behalf to make sure you get the most out of your insurance claim. Chances are, your insurance adjuster has never fixed a car before. Your adjuster may not realize that your vehicle has hidden or secondary damage as a result of your collision. So your insurance claim may not cover those repairs, unless your auto body shop advocates for you. Al Sturm has a long history of working with insurance companies, both as a customer service representative helping people with their claims over the phone and as a collision repair specialist, communicating between his own customers and their adjusters. Al and his team at A Good Shop will advocate for you behind the scenes, fighting on your behalf to make sure your claim covers everything. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
I try so hard to stay out of the weeds. What you ought to care about is the Republican Party going to be pro-Trump or anti-Trump? Liz Cheney and people like her are anti-Trump. And the question becomes, how many of us are there that voted for Trump and support his agenda?
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie. We've got a special guest that should be joining us, but we're waiting for that individual to call us, Stephen Halbrook, who, by the way, is a great Second Amendment attorney. If we get him, great. If not, those of you that have called in and wanted to chat, feel free to do so right now. We'll squeeze you in, 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600.
Did you want me to play any more Tucker until then? Or wait?
No, I think, and the bottom line there is, it's been pretty, well, maybe it hasn't been. I think it's pretty well known how much money Fauci has made in the past, currently is making, and will probably continue to make on all of this, because it's you just go Google it, it's out there. There's nothing hidden there whatsoever.
No,
he's got a lot of stake here.
No, I agree. The terrifying thing, though, that he brings up is that the kind of experiments that they were doing, where you actually advance a virus and make it so it can proliferate much more effectively, especially to humans, could not be funded by American tax dollars.
Right.
That was, there was legislation against that. So what they did was they inserted a sentence, a workaround, that it could be done if somebody in Fauci's position okayed it. So they inserted that, then Fauci okayed it and let it go through. And he said, because it was for, and I quote, national security.
How so?
Because, well, what Fauci said when he got grilled today by Senator Paul was that because of another virus that had happened in that area, in the bats area, it was really important that we have this kind of research done, because
hogwash,
SARS and so forth had happened out of bats then.
Hogwash.
Yeah. Well, because of that, it was vitally important that, and that's why we put the funding toward it. And yeah, Senator Paul wasn't buying it.
Hogwash.
Yeah.
I'm sure he called him out on that.
He did.
Hogwash. That's the best excuse he could come up with. That's lame. I think that's lame. All right. Ann's joining us now. Ann, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I wanted to mention that a very important vaccine no discrimination bill will be presented in the state capitol tomorrow in the basement at 1:30. It's regarding House Bill 21-1191. So 1191 says, and it's sponsored by Republicans, and we need two Democrats to get on board. So what it does is it makes the employers and public accommodation not put pressure on their employees and people that the public accommodation serve to require a vaccine or to, however that would be worked, put the pressure to be vaccinated. Okay? So this is a freedom and non-discrimination bill that we need, like I said, two Democrats to get on board. So people need to get a paper and pencil and know how to go to get to the committee members, okay? It is leg, as the, one of the legs you have on your body, leg.coloradospelledout.gov. Then you go to committees. When you go to committee, go down to House Health and Insurance. When you do that, you'll see the committee members. I urge that you focus on Caravio, a pediatrician, because the fewest people who've been vaccinated so far are the Hispanics and black communities, and those people should not be discriminated against because they don't have a vaccine for whatever reason they don't have, okay? So we also want to have people have freedom not to be forced with this experimental gene therapy, or whatever we would call it. I don't think right. It's therapy. So that's number one. And Titone could possibly be seeing how important the science shows, because number one, the manufacturers say this does not prevent your take or getting coronavirus.
Nope. I know someone that had the vaccine and still got the virus.
Right. And I know people who got it after they got the vaccine, like within a week.
Right.
Okay. So the thing is, we want to make sure that the pressure is not continued.
Okay.
And we want those people. And so it's Titone, and you'll see those people listed there.
Okay.
And then you can go, real important, tomorrow is the hearing, and you can participate in the hearing just by going to that website again, leg.colorado.gov. Go to committees, and at the very bottom of that tab of committees, it says, and I don't have it pulled up right now, it says something about join the hearing. You can observe it, but you want to participate in it because you want to send testimony or you want to send information. So you can email people today. You can call them today, leave messages. All the Republicans are voting for this, but it first has to get out of this House committee, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. And we're gonna talk to a little bit later at 5:30 with Patrick Neville. We'll mention that at that time as well too, Ann. So
okay.
Appreciate that. That's perfect.
Yes. Leg.colorado.gov.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks. Perfect. Good stuff. No, thank you very much, Craig in Wheat Ridge. You are next, sir.
Hi, John and Andy.
Hey, Craig.
I hope I wasn't too off base on my discussion earlier with Jordan Goodman. I mean, I just
no, you're fine.
I know he leaned. I think he leans a little left. So
a little?
Kind of forgiving him.
A little? No, we have good time. Well, and Jordan's a good sport, and we have a good time. And, you know, I was asking Andy, a little bit ago that, you know, does Andy think we've had any kind of an effect on Jordan, even swaying him in certain directions? And I would say that, yeah, I think we actually have, Craig, because don't forget, I gave Jordan a little credit where it probably wasn't due. Andy and I were the ones talking about inflation, where Jordan was sort of poo-pooing it. And now it's, you know, finally raised its ugly head, and Jordan is finally now on board that, yes, in fact, it is here.
You know, Craig, I have to critique you, though. You mispronounced. You said lean. It's leap. He leaps left.
Yeah, he's pretty far left.
And especially on this issue, he's very far left, and your comments were dead on.
No, you're fine. It didn't bother anything.
Well, something I wanted to ask him, he is a New York City resident, correct?
He is.
I have a stepson that lives in the New York City area, and he was not aware of it, but I wondered if it would have been totally off topic, so I didn't bring it up. They have a candidate running for mayor for New York City that is running against Yang because de Blasio is term limited.
Oh, okay.
And he is a Democrat. He's got the D in front of his name, but he is not for defunding the police. He wants to get New York back on track as being a safe place to visit. And I just wondered if he had heard of him and what he thought. But then the real reason I called in is I wanted to know how you felt about the state of Colorado has now determined that they're going to write off $61 million in over unemployment insurance benefits.
Benefits that they paid out they shouldn't have paid out, you mean? The fraud?
Right, correct.
Yeah, and by the way, that's an obscure number that I don't think they even know I don't think they even know exactly what it is.
No, it's just approximation.
They're guessing. They have no idea what the actual number is.
But I think this is also to known people, that collected it. I've heard stories where people tried to return it and were basically refused, saying that the story that I read is that their side of the story is it would cost them more to try to collect. These are people that actually received checks, state of Colorado residents, overpayment on their unemployment insurance claims, rather than being asked to pay that back. They're just saying pay it forward, overtip your waiter, help the homeless, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. What do you think about that kind of a philosophy?
That's what I think. How about you, John?
I have no words. None.
Hey, you guys, just tip better, and it'll all be okay. We'll track that.
Yeah, like these people that got overpayment are just not going to spend it. The pay it forward thing. It sounds noble, but I just really wonder how many of them will.
Craig, these are selfish people who have already, by taking these overpayments and keeping them and not reporting them, these people have already robbed their fellow citizens, and now we're asking them to tip their fellow citizens better.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's just, I continue to shake my head. And I'd like to make a comment about Governor Polis.
Sure.
And he, there's a lot more to leading a state than trying to be a junior Fauci.
Yes. Agree.
His emphasis on running this state is all about COVID.
Well, why, Craig? I mean, we've talked about this on the program before. The reason for that is the person that's in charge of what's going on here in Colorado health-wise is basically a junior Fauci himself, who I've said many times on this program has really never worked a real job, i.e. outside of government, his entire life. And as far as his medical credentials go, yes, he's a medical credential doctor and so on. But as far as what he does practice-wise, he's always been in the research professor, teaching, education field, never in real practice. And that's the guy that's running Colorado, much like Fauci. No different. We have a mini Fauci in Colorado is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, well.
And that's the right arm of Polis right now.
Well, it's funny how words that we've always interpreted as having one particular meaning now have various meanings, and that being the so-called infrastructure bill, where we always thought that was, gas pipelines, water pipelines, streets, bridges.
Come on, Craig, get with the program. We have to do social infrastructure now. Come on, Craig, get with the program.
It's just twisting. I mean, twisting everything.
Get with the program. All right, I got to run, Craig. Appreciate it. Stephen Halbrook, our guest at 4:30, is on with us. Hang tight, Stephen. We'll be right with you. Take a quick break. We'll come back, do a segment with you as well. So don't go anywhere. Geno's Auto Service is up next. Find Geno's online. It's genosautoservice.com. Geno's with a J. Anything you need, by the way, for your vehicle. Full bumper-to-bumper service, 303-794-6700.
Now's the time to take advantage of Geno's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Geno's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Geno's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Geno's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Ginos with a J.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith is here to help you plan ahead. And don't forget, if you book an appointment with him between now and May 15th, if you're just a single individual, you get a $50 Fleming's Restaurant gift card. If you're a couple, you get a $100 gift card to Fleming's Restaurant. So get that book today, get that gift card, and please let him know that you heard him on Rush to Reason. His number, 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement: how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy Pate, Stephen Halbrook joining us now, and an excellent Supreme Court attorney, if you would, on the Second Amendment. Stephen, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
Glad to be on the show, John. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you joining us. Let's talk about this case that's going on about New York's concealed carry case. I believe it's going to the Supreme Court. Is that correct?
That's right. The court has accepted it for review, and the briefs will be filed this summer, and I assume the court will have oral argument in the fall. So the case is called New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett, and it's basically a challenge to New York's system where they deny licenses to carry firearms to everybody except a selected few people who are officially designated as having a need. Nobody else has the right to bear arms, just those people.
What are the criteria, Stephen, that New York uses to wall people off from getting these?
Well, the law itself only says they have to have a proper reason, and the courts interpret that to mean that nobody really has a proper reason. You know, if you live in a high-crime neighborhood and everybody else are in the same situation, you're no different than anybody else, so you're not qualified to have a license. Mm.
So the government has to decide whether or not you have a they have to agree that you have a proper reason
to bear arms.
The government, that we're supposed to be able to have arms to protect ourselves from, has to agree that we have a okay, I got it.
Right, and so if you pay the right bribes or you're influential politically, you're a celebrity, those kinds of people, they get permits, not other people.
So this is going to the Supreme Court. And I know you don't have a crystal ball. You can't predict things along those lines. But what are your thoughts there?
Well, this by coincidence, about 4 days before the court said they were going to take the case, I published my new book. It's called The Right to Bear Arms, A Constitutional Right of the People or a Privilege of the Ruling Class. And it's right on point with the issue before the court. And I think based on the text of the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. The history and tradition in this country, that it's always been recognized everyday people have a right to bear arms. Like 42 states have permit systems. There's only a handful of states, eight of them, that are the usual suspects in denying those rights.
Right.
So I'm optimistic that the court will do the right thing.
What would you say, Stephen, to those that are listening that would say, and we have some of these in our audience, even though we're a conservative show, we have folks listen that would be in this camp that would say the Second Amendment's outdated, it's old, it doesn't fit anymore, we need to change it, it needs to be, you know, revamped and redone because it doesn't even handle what the Founding Fathers wanted back then. What would you say to them?
Well, they need to repeal the Second Amendment if they think that it's outdated. these are fundamental rights, First, Second Amendment, you name it. These are basic rights of the people. And they used to make the argument that, well, you just call law enforcement. And as we know from the summer of 2020 riots, law enforcement got shut down in many cities. Mm-hmm. And so even in the best of times, when you have an emergency and seconds count, the police are minutes away.
Right.
So you have a entitlement to preserve your life. That's so basic. That's a natural right.
Well, I continue to say, and I said this yesterday numerous times, Stephen, that the Second Amendment is really the cornerstone amendment that is in my opinion, keeping everything else in check. If we didn't have that, we'd have full-bore communism in this country today.
Right. I mean, it's the totalitarian argument that you should depend on the state for everything, to protect your life, to feed you, to tell you what to do, to order the society. And that's just, it never works out the right way. You know, we end up with Stalin or Mao or Kim. Right. So it's either one of the two. Either you have a individual responsibility, individual rights, individual liberties, or the government is the source of all privileges, and they dole them out to themselves the way it works in practice.
Hey, Stephen, I know we want people to buy your book, but can you give a taste test? And what I mean is, what are some examples of how the powerful get to enjoy the Second Amendment where they deny it to others?
Well, if you just look at the way these laws are administered, we're talking about New York, New Jersey, California. You apply for the license to carry the gun, and they look at it and they say, well, if you've been attacked in the past, we don't know if you're going to be attacked again. If you live in a high crime neighborhood, you're no different than other people. In other words, they say your situation has to be so unique that nobody else has it. And the way it ends up, the people who get these permits, they're celebrities, or they're people who are well known. They're very wealthy people. Ordinary commoners don't get these permits to carry. And if you go to, there's 42 states that have permit systems where you, as long as you have don't have a criminal record,
right,
and you pass the background check and all of that, you get the permit. I mean, Colorado.
Yeah, we have one. I've been carrying one as we speak. So yeah, not a big deal here.
Yeah. So it's not like the sky's going to fall if people won't have a right to exercise
right.
this fundamental right. And we know in states where these rights are denied, typically the crime rate is higher. But basically, it boils down to, you have this constitutional right. It's part of the American tradition and history that people get to exercise this right. And just to arbitrarily deny it, it just goes against our basic system of the rule of law. You know, some people were arrested about 3 years ago in New York City because they were buying permits. The police officers who administered the permit system were arrested, some of them, and the people paying the bribes. And so it's just an unfair system. The only alternative is to open it up for all
right.
people who qualify based on, do they require training? Fine, no problem. Do they require lack of a criminal record? Fine, let's get on with it.
Hey, Stephen, the words "shall not be infringed" means that something shall not be impeded or limited at all. How do your opponents try to get around that?
Well, here's what courts do in these states that have these kinds of laws. They say, well, yeah, it says there's a right and it won't be infringed, but we have to look at medieval English history. There was a Statute of Northampton from 1328. In the reign of Edward III, and that overrides the Second Amendment. There's this long tradition of regulation. I mean, this is the most ridiculous
yeah.
argument you can think of, but they go from that and some law that Henry VIII passed, and, oh, look at all these impediments or this tradition, and they end up with, well, the history shows that you can regulate the right and you can ban the right, and besides, there's some studies that say that if you allow people to carry guns, that there's more crime. I mean, they're in revolt against the rulings of the Supreme Court in the Heller case and in the McDonald case already, and they just they're in massive resistance to these rulings, and they basically are opponents of the Second Amendment. These are the judges who uphold these laws.
Stephen, with that, I got to run. I appreciate you joining us. We'll be watching this here as this proceeds in the near future. Thank you so much, Stephen Halbrook. Best of luck. Have a great evening, sir.
Glad to be on the show, and the book is The Right to Bear Arms.
Appreciate it very much, Steve. And up next, Barber's Foods. Get all your food for the upcoming Memorial Day / Father's Day weekends that are coming up in the not-too-distant future. Go to barbersfoods.com. That's with two S's, barbersfoods.com.
It's time to get out the grill for some all-natural, mouth-watering meats raised right here at home from Barber's Foods. For over 70 years in Colorado, Barber's Foods has stayed true to their mission to provide their customers with only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free meats from family farms they know personally. So whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the families who raise the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse, located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center, or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado-sourced bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, that's it for this second hour. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. We'll be back, though, another full hour coming your way. And got a lot in store, so don't go anywhere. One more full hour. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.